If you have your Bible and you want to open to a scripture today, it's one of the most familiar scriptures you're going to ever hear on faith. And I want to talk to you just a few minutes about a little faith goes a long way. A little faith goes a long way. I think one of the big misconceptions that we have about faith is that you need big faith for big problems. No, you need a big God for big problems. Your size of your faith doesn't need to match your problems. Size of your God needs to overmatch anything that you could possibly face. I don't really like the term the force of faith. As if you read your Bible and something mystical and magic happens, that particularly reading about promises that are made. Promises stimulate faith. They do not create faith. Faith in your faith, if your faith wavers, you will fail. God won't fail you, but you will fail to trust Him. Faith in your faith is dangerous because there are circumstances when your faith can be and will be shaken. God will sustain you. He will help you. But you will go through things in life, and there will be questions in life. The psalmist said, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." The shield of faith, to me, involves a person, not just power. Not even just the promise in the Word of God, but the person who made it. The Old Testament word that would be used, faith may be found, if you look it up, there may be a faith, the term, the word faith, may be one time translated in the Old Covenant. I'm not sure of that, but I know that that word is not like it is in the New Covenant throughout. The word that would be used to understand New Testament faith, there are preachers that want to unhitch the Old Covenant. You don't unhitch it. Jesus quoted it over and over to verify His own ministry, that it might be fulfilled which was written by the prophet Isaiah. He continued to go back and tell them, "I am the fulfillment of that." He read from the book of Isaiah concerning Himself and said, "Today this scripture's fulfilled in your ears and in me." So the Old Testament equivalent is trust. "They that trust the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. For as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, the Lord is round about His people to deliver them. Some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God." When I say faith, according to some hyper-faith preaching today, we think of a force that's developed in us. My faith, my faith, my faith. But when we say trust, it's my Father, my Father, my Father. Can you say, man? Faith in His faithfulness is the anchor that is both sure and steadfast for your soul. When the worries come, when the anxieties come, when the questions come, when the doubts come, when the fears come, oh, make no mistake about it. There's no place you can get when those things won't come. I like the person who had developed their trust in the Lord, and they put it this way, said, "Fear." I hope there's nobody over there. We've scared them enough already. You say, man. "Fear knocked on the door. I sent faith to answer it and said, 'There's nobody there. I don't recognize anything to be afraid of.'" But that comes by trusting. When I say trust, what happens? There's a person in view. God has always wanted, He never wanted you to be independent from Him by building up your faith to where you don't need Him and you don't need to focus on Him. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. It is that trust in a person. It's trusting in God. They that trust in the Lord. "Woe to them that make flesh their arm, They're like the heath in the desert. But blessed are they who trust in the Lord. So let's read this. This is the faith chapter real quickly. And it's a little faith goes a long way. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must, this is an imperative, believe that he is, and that's not enough, and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Actual Greek says seek him out. How are we to seek the Lord? The Bible says we're to seek him until he come and rain righteousness on us. We're to seek him. David said, Lord, when thou said unto me, seek thy face, I responded by saying, thy face will I seek. Everybody seeks his favor. Everybody don't seek his face. Can you say amen? But the Aaronic blessing, which is God's blessing through Aaron, it's God's will for his covenant people. God make his face to shine on thee. Lift his countenance upon thee. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Seeking God, not just seeking healing from God, but seeking the healer. Amen. Not just seeking help from God, but seeking the helper. Seeking God is the key to our faith today. Seek him how till you're done? No, seek him till he come. If you listen to the morning Bible sermon, really, up online, there is a testimony from a 13-year-old girl named Nikki. I don't have it with me, but she used all the medical terminology that had been given her. It was a grim thing. She said, when I was 10 years old, I was diagnosed with a particular type of crippling rheumatoid arthritis. That's devastating news for a 10-year-old. When you were 10, you could jump up in the air and flutter like, well, not exactly like that, but you were a dancer, right? Were you 10 when you? You could still do it? Wow. I didn't think anyone could even do that, let alone still do that. 10-year devastating news. She said, I couldn't dance. She couldn't dance like you got to do. She said, I couldn't march in the band because she played a flute, and they'd already been teaching her, getting ready to, as she grew, to be in the school marching band. She couldn't march. She's 13 now. She's marching in a band. She had lupus on top of that. She said, I couldn't walk but a few steps. I couldn't stand for very long. This is someone growing up and already getting the worst news you could possibly get about your body. She said, literally, my muscles and my bones were deteriorating at the same time. She said, but I kept praying. With childlike faith. I like the way she used words to describe what God did in response to a little bit of faith that goes a long, long way. Was she some Bible scholar, some great prophetess, someone who had been has particular gifts of the Spirit? No, she was someone that had a belief in a God that could do anything, and not only could do anything, but would do something for her. It's not enough to believe that he can do anything. That's a given. He couldn't be God if he couldn't do everything that he promised. Nothing is impossible with God. That's a given. That's the easy part of faith. Amen. He is. He exists. He created heaven and earth. He can take care of you and me. But is he a responder? That's the part of faith that a lot of people trip up on. To believe that he has this power and he'll release it for you. So Nikki prayed. She said, but I kept praying. The doctor, she said, you will never, ever get over this. She said, but I kept praying. There's a scripture that says, pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean to go mumbling prayer without ever stopping. It means never give up on the power and privilege of prayer. When you set yourself to pray, don't put a time limit on it. Can you say amen? I set myself to pray for my son, and I was just believing God that he was going to get saved. He was going to get his guitar out and play it for Jesus, and that we're going to sing as a trio again, my son, my wife, and I. When he came back to the Lord, we're going to stand up front of the church, shout the victory, sing those songs we used to sing back in that Jesus movement. Hallelujah. I wanted that. I desired that. But I kept praying for his salvation. And he kept avoiding coming to that place in his life. But I kept praying for it and praying for it. I got to where I said, every morning when I rise, I'm going to pray for his salvation. I'm not going to give up once I set myself. Because, listen, that's Satan is counting on you becoming weary, giving up because you don't see any change in people. Amen. Giving up on God. If you give up on someone you're praying for, you're giving up on God. Because, listen, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. That's what Nikki said, had read, and that's what she held on to. Nothing is impossible with God. She said, I am now marching in the band. I am now playing the flute. She said, the lupus is gone, and the doctor said it is incurable. But she said, it's gone. And she said, and the doctors don't know why that it's gone. Because it's not supposed to ever be cured by anything. But she said, but let me tell you this. Nothing is impossible with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And she said, I've got some arthritis, but it's not to the point of crippling or anything. And she said, but God is working on it. I'm getting better. This is a 13-year-old kid. Where's that faith coming from? It's coming from something that she believed about God, and it's not about big time force of faith to what I speak is going to happen because I speak it. No, it's a father who has all power and is loving enough to release that power to help her in the time of her need when she called upon him. Call upon the Lord in the day of trouble. Psalm 50:15. He will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify him. Can you say amen? Call upon me. Just pray. That's what that's all about. Call upon me, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's not about getting a revelation. That's getting a realization that God answers prayer. Early in the scriptures, people figured it out. It said, and men began to call upon the Lord. In the very earliest of the old covenant, they found out God is a prayer answering God because God loves his people. And if you don't believe that part of this, then the whole thing begins to break down. You got to believe that this God of the impossible and this God of such absolute love for his children and his covenant people, this God who set his love by covenant. You say, there's times I've failed him. I know. I would say, tell me about it, but I'd really rather not. Can you say, man, this God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to seal you. He wants to keep you safe from the wrath to come. And he wants you to take you through this world of heartache and heartbreak. He wants to help you. But it takes a simple childlike faith. If you want to get into the hyper faith movement, it's out there. But I'm going to tell you right now, when your faith begins to shake, you're going to question him. How many shipwrecked lives have been given promises that God wanted to keep, but he couldn't keep, because that kind of faith in your faith, your ability to believe, is not the faith that is represented in Scripture. When I say trust, I think of Jesus. When I say trust, I think of the Father. Jesus kept pointing them to the Father, that they could trust him. Heretofore, you've asked nothing in my name, he said. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. I do not say that I shall pray for you. This is not talking about his intercession for our relationship and fellowship with God. It's talking about the fact that he said, well, what'd they do in a storm? You run to Jesus. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. The ship is in peril. We're about to sink. He's got the power. And he's sleeping in the hinder part of the ship in the middle of the storm. Get up and worry with us. Better yet, get up and help us out. And they woke him up. And here's what they said. This is important. Master, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care? The biggest lie the devil will tell you when you pray and it doesn't come immediately, or you pray it goes in reverse, is that God doesn't love and God doesn't care. He's a liar and the father of it. That's where faith breaks down. He does care. I call it the logic of the cross. We won't get to this outline. I can see that, but I'm going to tell you. Amen. Romans 8:32, I believe it is. It says, have you got that? Have you got it? I won't have to turn to it. Romans 8, verse 32. You can help me preach today. And I call it the logic of the cross.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up, that meant to be crucified in for our sake, how shall he not? How can we keep doubting because of our perception of things instead of the facts of the matter? Did Jesus go to the cross for you? That has to override your feelings. That has to override when things go in reverse. I see people really down and out here today, and I've come to try to lift you up, but I can't carry you on my back. I can carry you to God in my prayers and intercession. But if you're a Christian, you need to let the cross talk louder to you than what you feel, what you see, and what you sense. If you don't ever get to that place, you're going to stay down. And nothing's going to lift you up. But there is a place where the logic of the cross becomes the basis for your faith. If he loved us enough, don't ever doubt his love when things go south. Don't doubt his love when things go wrong. Don't doubt his love when the devil lies and said if he loved you, he wouldn't let this happen. Don't doubt his love. That's what Jesus was deeply concerned about when they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he jerked up and said, where is your faith? Did he want them to go and do that? No, he was going to do that. What he was questioning was, where's your faith in my faithfulness? Where's your faith in my love? Where's your faith in my watch care over you? He got up. He went to the bow. A little prayer goes a long way. He went to the bow of the ship. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the rain. And he said, peace, be still. And the storm didn't cease. And the sea didn't take an hour to become calm. Creation heard Creator. Because Jesus was not just a great evangelist. He was even more than Messiah. He was God in flesh. And they heard the same voice that caused the waters to depart and land to appear and the universe to come into being. Let us create man in our image. This Oh, never a man spake like him. Never a man spake like him. No, never a man spake like him. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? He was God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Don't you care? Where's your faith? He didn't ask them to go out there and show him the force of faith that they're going to handle it. I just can't hardly stand when I hear a message on faith that makes you less dependent on him and become more independent by the development of your faith. We even got people out there talking about we're little gods. You're the branch. He's divine. Can you say amen? Don't ever forget that. Jesus pointed us to the Father. Heretofore I have asked you, you have asked the Father nothing in my name. The levels of spiritual growth is babes because you've come to Christ. Young men because you've got power over the enemy. Young men here, they got them big biceps. Like Jimmy. He has to be careful when he drives home. Highway patrol pull him over for having two big guns in his car. Guns, if you've ever been to the gym. You can see the development. You see these people, they're young and they're full of vinegar and faith and just kick the devil out, do this, do that. And I speak to you, old men, older men, senior men, because you've known him that is from the beginning. You're not just caught up in your authority. Remember when they went out, they cast out devils, they came back, they wanted to go again. They were rejoicing, said, man, we use your name, we cast out demons by the authority of the believer, the authority of the believer. We do have that authority. But what did he say to them? Be careful. Don't rejoice because you've got all of this power and authority over the devil. Rejoice rather, he's taking us right back to Calvary, right back to dependence on him for our salvation, for our safety, for everything. Rejoice rather that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you say, man, that's the reason for your joy, not the fact that you've cast out demons and you've done these mighty charismata is the gifts of the Spirit. And young babes, because you've come to Christ, Paul said, I speak to you young men because you've overcome the devil, but I speak to you elders because you have known him that is from the beginning. Can you say, man, you've come to know the Father. How do you pray? Who do you pray to? Heretofore, see the focus? He wanted to shift it. I'm going to be going. I'm coming again. I'll be with you, but I won't be with you like I am now. I want to introduce you to the Father. I want you to trust him. Heretofore, you've asked nothing, the Father, nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive. So that your joy might be full. I do not say that I shall pray for you, for the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. Hallelujah. The logic of the cross is what? If the Father so loved this fallen world and you and I in it, that he would give his only begotten son to die on the cross. How shall he not? How could he not? How would he not give you all things? Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Our Father, our Heavenly Father. See, he said pray. When you pray, how do you start your prayer? By acknowledging your relationship to and with the Father. Truly our fellowship, 1 John said, is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. But now it's not just Jesus help us, it's Father in the name of Jesus, thank you for your help. Can you say amen? Glory to God. He walked to the bow of that ship and he said, peace, be still. And immediately there was a great calm. Immediately. Because creation heard more than a great preacher full of faith or a great prophet. They heard the voice of creation. Creation heard the voice of Creator. Peace be still. You know, if he doesn't speak immediately to the storm without that's caused the storm within, he will immediately speak to the storm within, even if it rages without. And when he says, peace be still to your heart, you can be still. And then you'll know that he is God. And when you know, you believe that he is, then you'll understand that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. He's a responder to your cry. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. If you can't get an answer, don't worry about it. You have need of patience. And I'd like everyone to say, amen. You have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Amen. It's His will that you trust Him, believe Him. Let your faith go in Him. Hallelujah. But then He says, I want you to wait upon me. Wait upon the Lord. What happens to them that wait upon the Lord? Do they just get cast down and wore thin and wore out and become weary of it all? No, they mount up with wings as an eagle. I like the eagle. I like all things about the eagle. I'm glad America had a symbol of the eagle and not a buzzard. How about you? Maybe we need to change the symbol now. There's so much deadness in the world and the church world too. I don't know what you get out of church. I don't go for nothing but Jesus. If they're not talking about Jesus, I don't care what else they have to say. Social things, we need to be involved. Political things, we need to go vote. And we need to vote for the right people. But tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more about Jesus. Can you say, man, if he loved us enough to give us his only son, to offer him up. When he gave, it didn't mean to lay in a manger. It didn't need to stay in a manger. It meant literally so he could go to the cross at full age and pay our sin debt in full. Did he love us that much? Yes, he did. Then you can trust a father that gave his son, and you can trust his son and our Savior. Because he stayed on the cross to pay in full our sin debt. And he did not have to. Was he a victim? Yes. As a lamb, he was a victim. But as the lion, he was still God on that tree. To wit, God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Where? On that cross, when it looked like he was abandoned, when he in his flesh cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he stayed on that cross, despising the shame, enduring the pain. And don't think he was the only one in pain. The Father could not and would not. Because if he took him down or allowed him to use his authority, if he used his own authority to come down, our salvation would not have occurred. He had to stay on it. So hang with him a while. Don't be quick to give up on him. He spent 6 hours in agony so you could be saved and call upon Him and pray in His name. Don't just question Him because you are fed up with your situation. I've been fed up. I got so fed up because I was sick with nerves. I thought I'm supposed to be a representation of God's peace. And here I am having panic attacks at night, going out in the garage and getting down on my hands and knees because it was choking me and I didn't want to wake up my family. And I'm the preacher. Were you a fraud? Were you a phony? No, I love the Lord. My faith is in God. And I couldn't understand why He wasn't responding to me. My son got sick with a pain. He got a pain. I got to hurry. But let me tell you this. Somebody's going through something. God wants your focus back on His faithfulness. He wants you to leave here with some hope in your heart. He wants you to not be quick to give up on Him and get frustrated with Him. Oh, He can take it, but He wants you to make it. Can you say amen? He can take that. He won't quit loving you, but He just can't help you until you come to Him and believe that He is and that He is a responder to them that seek Him. The devil says you quit seeking Him. Give up on Him. Give up on what you're praying for. Your faith is too small. And God said, Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Come on, little goes a long way with God. If it's in God. If it's in God. If it's in God. It starts with not have the faith of God. Oh, I've heard the hyper preaching. It says have faith in God. And if you have faith, what? In God, not in your faith, but in His faithfulness and His love and His grace and His mercy and then His power. Hallelujah. And it's in His will. You're in His will. You've discovered His will through surrendering to His will. And if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition. Well, I don't see it yet. Well, we walk by faith and not by sight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I don't see any change in the circumstance. I'm glad I didn't give up praying for my son. He was a firebrand plucked out of the fire. Some having compassion makes a difference, but some go right down to the end. The flames are already on them. And if it wasn't for God's grace and intercession that says, I'm not going to turn them loose. Amen. I'm not going to turn them loose. I'm not going to turn them loose. Hallelujah. Something has got to give and it won't be God. So don't let the devil wear you down. Don't let him wear you thin. A little faith goes a long way with God. When it's faith in God. Mustard seed grows into a mighty tree. Jesus said, if you say to that mountain, you're in my will, you're surrendered to my will, you've discovered my will and it's in the way of my will. If you say to that mountain, now be careful here. Because the authority of the believer is not a blank check so that you can have everything your way. You can have everything He wills, but you can't have everything you want. In fact, you won't even get what He wills until you will to have His will done in your life. Nevertheless, not what I will. But what you will be done. Are you glad Jesus prayed that prayer in Gethsemane? Hallelujah. We've been rebuked for saying, if it be thy will. If I find His will in the Word, I don't have to say that. But there's things I don't understand. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Before you ask for anything, try to use your faith to get anything, you surrender to His will. Kingdom is the rule and domain of a king. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. That's the surrender of our will to His will. And that's how we discover His will. Because A lot of people pray about what they want and what they believe he's supposed to do for them. As if faith can manipulate God, twist his arm. No, it doesn't. The first work of faith is surrender to the will of God. Thank you for the holy murmurs. I couldn't even get a... That'll do, I guess, for an amen. Thy kingdom come, that's surrender. Kingdom is a rule and domain of a king. Where a king rules, it's not mystical, it's practical, it's personal, it's precise. It's where a king rules completely with unopposed authority. It's not a kingdom unless he's in control of it all. If he is in control of our life, then we're trying to manipulate our life to navigate around everything that would bug us or bother us. Can't do that. In this world, you'll have tribulation, but cheer up. I've overcome the world. I went before you. I'll give you the victory. Praise God. Master, don't you care that we perish? He said, where's your faith? He went right around them and said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. What manner of man is this? That even the sea and the waves obey him. We have Christians flocking to seminars on faith. And it's a force that develops in you. We had churches called Word Churches that were hyper faith. I'd like to believe we're Word Church. I've sure tried to get enough word in it. But it's not hyper faith. I want your shield of faith to be trust in the Father's faithfulness. Because Jesus stayed on that cross when he felt abandoned in his physical being, in his humanness. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He could have come down. He could have continued to question. But he knew this is mysterious because he was very God who came for that purpose, the second person of the Godhead, of the triune God. But he stayed for 6 hours until all of the wrath of God was burned up on him so that we could be given forgiveness as a free gift. He stayed on it. So don't give up on him because you are wore thin. I got wore thin. My son was sick, and I got to hurry and close one song. My son was sick. He was hurting. I went in and prayed the prayer of faith for him. One day he came home with some kind of moles or what do they call them? These seed warts all over his arms. He was embarrassed. He started wearing long-sleeved shirt in the summer to school. Come home one day and said, Daddy. And so I immediately thought of some kind of that cream that's supposed to freeze them off. It'd take time. And I thought, well, I'm just going to pray for you. I said, let's pray. In our house, you just pray. Boy. So we prayed. I said, Father, I smite these things. I curse them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they get off of my son, that they will die and desist from continuing to bother him anymore. And I got busy, forgot all about the prayer. A little prayer goes a long way. The next 2 days later, he came home from school saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I said, what? He said, look, and he rolled up his sleeve. He wore it to school because of them, but they were all gone. And we didn't freeze them off or anything. The Father just answered a simple prayer. And I thought, wow, this is great. Hallelujah. But here he is, the same son, same dad, same faith. He's laying in pain. And I thought, I went in, prayed again. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal my son. And I was just sure he'd be better in 5 minutes. He wasn't better in 5 minutes. I went back and rebuked the devil. I started pulling all the weapons in my spiritual arsenal out. And I said, I plead the blood of Jesus. I put the name of Jesus. I bind every hindrance spirit. Be healed in Jesus' name. And I walked out of the room and he said, Daddy, it hurts. Daddy, it hurts. And boy, I'd had a long day. You know, the devil hits you with doubt and fear and frustration when you're wore out. When you're wore out, here he comes with his lies. And I thought, I just got upset. And I was upset with the Lord. And I said, listen, if my faith isn't sufficient for him to be healed, I don't want him to suffer anymore with this pain. And said, if you're not going to help him, then I am. I got an attitude with God. Now, that's not something you should do. But I got an attitude. And so I got him in the car. I said, we're going to the emergency room. Get him some help. He's hurting. We went in the, it used to be community hospital where I prayed for your daughter and a lot of whole bunch of people. Got him in the parking lot of the emergency room. Got ready to pull into a parking space. And the Lord spoke to me and said, are you going to put him in man's hands and quit trusting me? I said, no, Lord, I'm not. I said, Matthew, can you hold on a little while before we go in? He said, yeah, Daddy. I said, I want to pray first again. And I prayed differently. I didn't pray as a man of God rebuking the devil and rebuking the sickness. I praise as a son of God, asking the Father to help me in the name of Jesus and to help my son. I prayed out of humility. And I prayed out of a simple faith that God loved us and cared as deeply and more deeply than I could ever care. And we took a circle around. I don't know if we went around once or twice, but I know it wasn't seven. We didn't have to do the perfect number thing. But I felt the peace of God begin to come. And I said, Lord, I will not take him to their hands without him being in your hands. And I believe that right now, in spite of my frustration, my doubt, and even my fear, I believe that he's in your hands because that's where I'm putting him. And I'm going to tell you, a peace came over me at that point. I thought, listen, if he passes away tonight, he's in the hands of God. But I'm going to take him in here and do what I know to do because I felt God's permission. You can take him in now. And I took him in, and it was a weekend, and a man drunk driving had went through the windshield of his car when he hit a power pole. And he was so inebriated, they couldn't give him the strong pain medication. And he was in the emergency room in another area of it, but you could hear him screaming in pain. Help me! Help me! Help me! And I thought, Lord, it must be so awful to be in that kind of shape. They can't give you anything for pain and you don't feel the peace, the help of God in your life. I'm glad I know you. I'm glad I know the Father. I'm glad I know the Son. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I can put trust my son to your loving care. Right now, he's still in pain. The doctor comes in. He's so busy. Diagnoses him. They sent something to the lab. Got the lab report. It's bad. Don't know what's going on, but according to the white blood cell count, whatever's going on in his body, we'll have to run tests and find out whatever is going on. It's as if he had acute appendicitis or something for the white count to be this high. The doctor said, I'll be back. We're going to have to run tests. I said, that's fine. That's fine. 5 minutes later, Matthew sat up. He said, Daddy, childlike faith. How I need it. How we need it. Daddy, the pain is gone. The pain is gone. Daddy, I'm thirsty. okay. I asked the nurse, can he have some water? She said, I guess he can. How's he doing? I said, he says he's fine. She said, okay. He drank the water. And, of course, the next thing is, Daddy, I'm hungry. Doctor come back. I said, would you check him again? He has absolutely no pain. He's thirsty and says he's hungry. He said, well, listen. He said, I can check him again, but if he's... He said, listen, he ran the test. Everything is normal. He says, if you will promise that you will take him to a doctor somewhere tomorrow and follow up, I will not admit him tonight. I said, you don't need to. He's fine. He said, I won't admit him. These men of science have a real problem with miracles, and so do a lot of Christians. Anyway, they need them, but they have a problem with them. And so I took him home, and we fed him good, and I took him right beside that hospital, where the Veterans Hospital is now. There was a clinic, and I took him in to get him checked out to verify. You don't have to exaggerate it. When God does it, He does it. It's a done deal. The doctor checked him out stem to stern, but he had his file from the hospital. They transferred it to him. That's why they told me to take him there. He said, I can't find anything wrong. He was so disappointed. He came out and said, I can't find anything wrong with your son. The blood test is fine. Everything tests fine. I said, that's exactly what we wanted to hear. Don't be disappointed. We prayed. We prayed. And he looks at you like, yeah. But that's okay. My son went home. He was fine. God did it in the hospital. But he did it when we prayed again. But we prayed not just in the authority of the believer, but in the absolute belief that God cares when we hurt, and we can trust Him with whatever is causing our hurt and our pain. And it taught me that great power and great faith is not just in great people with great authority, but in every one of His children. David said, I love the Lord because He hears my voice. I love the Lord because He hears my cry. I love the Lord because He hears my prayer, inclining His ear unto me. In the actual Hebrew, it means to bend down to listen. If you think God is aloof in His heaven because you're wore thin and wore out, that's a feeling, that's not a fact. The fact is, when you call on Him as His child, He bends down to listen. He's in charge of the whole universe, hearing prayers from all over the world. But when you pray, it gets personal. He bends down and listens. Hallelujah. I never refuse a child. When we were in our other church, when a little child would come from Sunday school, and they wanted to show me a picture. They wanted to tell me what they learned. And their little kid and all these, you know, folks are talking deep spiritual stuff, but here's a little kid tugging on me. And I thought I could just shoo him away. But if such is the kingdom of heaven, and I'd stop and I'd bend down because I want them to know what God is really like. I got a nickname by you when you were a little kid. Well, little kid. She didn't call me Pastor Venable. I think they played a video and something, and she said, there's Hallelujah. Because I said Hallelujah so many times. She didn't know me as Brother Venable, Pastor Venable. There's Hallelujah. I like that. I want to be a Hallelujah from head to foot. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye Jah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! When God answers prayer, when God comes through, when we are weak, He's still strong and mighty. Hallelujah! And He heard my cry, not just my prayer of authority. Yes, we need to take authority, but this is not about the authority of the believer alone. This is about God. The greatest power is not in the person who prays, but in the God who hears. Hallelujah. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. He's a rewarder. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation, in closing, this is the fourth closing. If we don't close, we won't have time to eat. Can we go 5 minutes over? What is back here? Don't even tell me. Listen, I'm supposed to hurry. It's so hard. John is in the presence of God the Father. The term used in Revelation is golden vials. And I see kind of transparent gold vials like you would see, full of odors, incense, something that's pleasing to God, that blesses the Lord. I looked that up. It wasn't even vials. It's actually golden bowls full of incense, full of odors. He said, what is that? Angel said that. Oh, that is the prayers of the saints. Does prayer go in one ear and out the other with God? No. Where does prayer go? Is it linger? It's in His presence preserved. Every prayer uttered in the presence of God. Can a mother forget her children? Her suckling child? She may. I'll never forget you, O house of Israel. Can you say, man? David had a concept of prayer that's better than all of the hyper-faith teaching you'll ever get, because it was the Father's love, the Father's care for him. And he rested his faith upon that. And that sustained him. When everything around him shook, that didn't shake. And we just heard a song about it that was written when he was running for his life and looked like there was no way out. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody going through any kind of trials and tests that has the potential to make you question and doubt, are you wearing thin? Join the club. I've been where you are. I may get there again, but that's still okay, because He will never leave. He will never forsake. If you don't give up on God, He certainly will never give up on you. We got one song. Will you stand for it today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. A little prayer goes a long way because of the God who inclines His ear to you. Is there anyone here without Christ today and you need to know Him? Anyone in this room? You would like to know Him as your Savior? Will you stretch your hand this way? This is worth. We'll pay overtime to pray here today.